All right, we have some breaking news. I want to take you a layer deeper into these private Epstein emails that were released this morning. I've made multiple videos breaking down the most popular of the emails, but there are some more that are eerie, that are scary, because it shows the true influence that Jeffrey Epstein had in Trump's administration throughout the world and how he pulled strings to not only influence Russia, influence the United States, but it's deeper than anybody realized. All of this is being done by a prolific pedophile, by the way. Donald Trump today has been scrambling, along with Caroline Leavitt, to play cleanup as a discharge petition to release the Epstein files has reached 218 votes. It has reached the threshold in order for the entirety of the Epstein files to be released. The final vote will happen early December. I want to pull in Micah Irfan in just one moment, but first, let me read this thread. It says, the emails released today shed new light on Epstein's vast influence network. Foreign leaders, political bosses, billionaire executives, journalists, government officials, and Kyle Cheney reports that Jeffrey Epstein used them to track and affect Trump's first term. Some of the exchanges in these emails are extraordinary. In one of them, Jeffrey Epstein said in emails that he had been advising the Russian government on how to deal with Donald Trump, one of several cases in which he wielded his connections to try to influence the course of foreign affairs. There are multiple different frameworks we could look at this through. First of all, Jeffrey Epstein knew how to manipulate Donald Trump so well. It shows how easily manipulable Donald Trump is. But secondly, he was then colluding with the Russian government to manipulate Donald Trump. Third, Jeffrey Epstein still had a lot of leverage over Trump at this point in the form of information that could be released. Fourth, Jeffrey Epstein died in 2019. He killed himself, according to most official investigations, under the Trump administration. So it's all a little bit weird. But if we read this email thread, it says, I think you might suggest to Putin, from Jeffrey Epstein, that Lavrov can get insight on talking to me. Churkin used to, but he died. Someone replied, Churkin was great, but understood Trump after a conversation. It is not complex. He must be seen to get something. It is that simple. Legit, literally advising the Russians. In other emails, Epstein described his relationship with foreign leaders, advised Steve Bannon on how to increase his influence in Europe, and offered his mostly, but not entirely, dim assessment of Trump to those who asked. Epstein's bid to link up with Lavrov came a few weeks before Trump met Putin in Helsinki. After the fateful meeting, Epstein panned Trump's performance in an exchange with former Clinton Treasury Secretary Larry Summers. Epstein later opined about Trump's fateful meeting with Putin in Helsinki, which was panned around the world for his apparent capitulations to the Russian dictator, remember, during his first term. Quote, do the Russians have stuff on Trump? Today was appalling, even by his standards, wrote Larry Summers, the former Clinton admin Treasury Secretary. This is fascinating stuff, by the way. Quote, my email is full with similar comments. Wow, Epstein replied the next day. I'm sure his view is that it went super well. He thinks he has charmed his adversary. Admittedly, he has no idea of the symbolism. He has no idea of most things. He also called Trump's handling of the summit with Putin predictable. Jeffrey Epstein is sitting there in these emails, sort of pissed off that Trump is such an idiot and interacting with Putin in such an idiotic way, while also helping the Russians deal with Donald Trump. You know, I want to bring in lead policy advisor of Mockler Media, Micah Irfan, to help me break down the entire Epstein debacle, break down the news cycle, and break down the influence that Epstein had over Donald Trump. Micah, how you doing today? What was your reaction to the news?
I mean, you want to say it's shocking whenever we get more information, which seems to suggest that the president of the United States was involved in a pedophile ring. But in all honesty, it's not surprising anymore, Adam. We've gotten so much information over the past few months, and even back in the election, whenever we learned that Trump was in the Epstein flight logs, that these Republicans seem to consistently ignore. And every single thing this administration has done since they've taken office has incriminated Trump more and more. Just recently, with this discharge position, he called Lauren Boebert, one of the Republican congresswomen, to personally ask her to not support the discharge petition to release the Epstein files. It's fishy, it's suspicious, and I'm glad that we're still talking about it because we need justice for the victims.
We immediately need justice. On a broader global scale, it seems like Epstein had his hands pretty deep in the pot of international politics and of local politics. He said in one of the emails that everyone knows Trump is dirty, or that Trump is like Trump is as dirty as it comes, some insane shit that we all know, but hearing it come from Jeffrey Epstein is next level.
It is next level. And we know they had a close relationship despite what Trump says otherwise. We have records of Jeffrey Epstein saying that they were, you know, really close friends, best friends even perhaps. And we know that he spent many times with Jeffrey Epstein at Mar-a-Lago. Actually, some of the Epstein victims that are high profile were recruited at Mar-a-Lago. And so we know that there's this long-lasting relationship. We also know increasingly that Epstein was involved in international influence operations. And my question is to all the Republicans that are really concerned with America First, aren't you concerned about the president of the United States being potentially part of an international pedophile ring and having international leverage over our president? I think that's something that we should all be concerned about.
Yeah, and here's how I view the situation right now in America. So Republicans, a little over a week ago, took a massive loss in an election, in multiple elections, in multiple states, and not just blue states, in Georgia too. We won statewide races that we hadn't won in almost two decades, right? This was a huge win for Democrats. Right after this, Donald Trump was losing the government shutdown, feeling maximum pain. We were twisting his arm. Now, of course, those eight Senate Democrats caved. We can talk about that in a separate video as we have, but they were losing the government shutdown. Most Americans still blame the government shutdown on Trump. Many Americans are now aware of the ACA subsidies. Many Americans are now aware that there is another vote coming up. So the Trump admin is already in a precarious position. To add on top of that, people are feeling the pain of prices. To add on top of that, the Epstein dump that we just got today is entirely next level. That is why they're trying to rig the midterms. That is why Donald Trump is trying to push Republicans to nuke the filibuster and pass more voting laws, voting legislation that will make it harder for Democrats and minorities in America to vote. So with all of this being said, can you break me down the next layer? What's going on in Utah lately?
Yeah. So Utah Democrats just got a huge victory. Voters just got a huge victory because the Supreme Court affirmed a lower court decision to strike down a radical right-wing Republican gerrymander of the state of Utah. In Utah, the voters passed about 7 or 8 years ago a proposition which banned partisan gerrymandering in the state of Utah. Yet the Republicans, they didn't care. They dismissed what the voters' will was, and they decided to draw a map that disenfranchised 38% of Utah, which 38% is Democrats. They made it where Republicans got 100% of the seats, despite being far from 100% of the vote. And the judge said, we're not going to go along with this map. We're going to strike it down. And she put in place a new map, which is still unfair to Democrats. It only gives Democrats one out of four seats, 25% of the seats for 38% of the vote. But of course, Utah Republicans are radical and extreme. And so now they're trying to impeach this lower court judge to penalize her for following the law and the will of Utah voters. And they're saying that this decision was unprecedented, that these kind of decisions only happen to Republicans. That's not true. We actually know in Maryland, just a couple of years ago, a Maryland Democratic redistricting effort was struck down by a judge. Did anybody hear about that? No, because Democrats follow the law. Whenever judges rule a specific way, Democrats go along with it because we understand that in our country, we have three branches of government and the judiciary is important. Unfortunately, Republicans don't have that similar reverence for our Constitution and our separation of powers.
The Republicans in power are wielding our institutions to protect pedophiles, illegally rig elections, redistribute wealth towards the richest of the rich. Meanwhile, people are being stripped or are soon to be stripped of healthcare by the million. People almost lost access to food assistance, but we have to protect the pedophiles at the very, very top. That is what the Republican philosophy currently is. Micah Irfan, thank you very much. You can subscribe to him below. Subscribe to both of us below. I love you all and peace out.
Thanks.